And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is belief systems. Each of my guests is discussing his or her worldview, whether it's in politics, religion, or death. My next guest is a member of the Association for Death Education and Counseling. She uncovers which funeral trends are the latest rage in her book, A Good Goodbye, Funeral Planning for Those Who Don't Plan to Die. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Gail Rubin is the author of The Family Plot Blog, the book A Good Goodbye, and A Girl's Pocket Guide to Trouser Trap. She's an event planner with experience creating many memorable life cycle events who has attended, planned, and spoken at many funerals and memorial services. Gail is the author of Matchings, Hatchings, and Dispatchings, which is an Albuquerque Tribune column on the life cycle events. She found that the columns on death elicited the greatest reader response that indicated to her the need for information, inspiration, and tools to facilitate pre-need funeral planning. Gail is a breast cancer survivor. She's a member of the Association for Death Education and Counseling. She's her synagogue's cemetery committee, and she is the Chevra Kadishi volunteer organization that ritually prepares the bodies of Jews for burials. Joining us from Albuquerque, how are you today, Gail?
Hey, I am great. It's great to be on this side of the sod every day.
It certainly is, and I love your outlook. I love your book because it is so very uplifting on a subject that could be very, very depressing. But I want to start out with something that has bugged me right from the start, Gail, and that is, as human beings, we are intrinsically optimistic. In fact, there's something called the optimism gene, and it's part of our survival mechanism. That's why we've survived as a species all these millennia. And we always believe that tomorrow is going to be better than today. So I guess the big thing that I have, the question that I have, is what happens if there's no more tomorrow? I mean, how do we go about planning for our own funeral, which is very much contrary to our human nature that tomorrow is going to be a better day?
Well, and in fact, social psychologists cite something called the terror management theory, which is to say, death being the ultimate terror, it informs our behavior with something that's called mortality salience. And the way that informs our behavior is we avoid talking about the subject. But talking about funerals won't make you dead, just like talking about sex won't make you pregnant. So my take on it is it's the party no one wants to plan. But if you do undertake some planning, you can reduce stress at a time of grief. You can avoid a lot of hassles that come up if you don't have your information pulled together. You can save thousands of dollars. A lot of people don't realize how expensive funerals are. They're about the fifth most expensive household budget item, you know, after weddings and college educations and your house and your car.
Wow.
Is a funeral. They can cost anywhere from $5,000 to $15,000, $20,000, depending on how fancy you want to get.
Hmm. My goodness. Now, it brings up an interesting point about the party that you never want to plan. Who is the funeral really for, Gail? I mean, when you think about it, if you're planning your own funeral, you're planning the memorial service, whatever it might be, who's your target audience?
Well, it's your loved ones, your family and friends. And by letting them know what you might like to help celebrate your life when you're gone, you're taking the burden off of them and making it easier for them. And it is a difficult conversation to start. It's very awkward. That's why I say, like, talking about sex. I mean, that's a hard conversation for parents to have with their kids. But this is another awkward conversation to start, but it does have all of these benefits for the family who would be remaining alive.
And Gail, you're broadcasting into Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. A lot of people who listen to our show fall into the age category of 35 to 54-year-olds. Many of them are having three generations living either under the same roof or certainly within geographically a very tight area. Mm-hmm. So this is one of those things that the children of the aging greatest generation, the generation that's dying off currently, they've got to face this. So give us some thoughts on how do you bring up this really sensitive subject with a parent who you need to have this conversation with before they pass away.
Well, you know, one way they can say is, I heard this lady talking on KKZZ today, and she had some very interesting things to say about getting information. There are five things you need to know now about your parents, your siblings, anybody you would be put in a position of planning a funeral for. Four of those relate to what goes on a death certificate. That's the Social Security number. You know your own number. Do you know your parents' numbers? Do you have that written down somewhere? Mother's maiden name, the place of birth, and any veterans' information. You can get free services from the government if you've got those specific papers. And then the fifth thing is online passwords. In our online world these days, if you don't have passwords on file somewhere, when you die and you take your passwords with you, your family is stuck.
Well, now that
your online life.
That is very interesting, and that is a byproduct of our digital society that we live in, and something that people often overlook. The passwords, I guess it's also true if they've got savings accounts and things like that, you need to know where the banking is done and things of that nature as well.
So I offer a planning form off of my website, agoodgoodbye.com, that people can put their name and email address in, and then they'll be able to download a planning form from the book, A Good Goodbye, that will help them pull all that information together and keep it handy.
My guest is Gail Rubin. We're talking about her book, A Good Goodbye. And Gail, I found it amusing, bemusing, interesting, as I read your book, some of the new trends that are emerging in funerals today, some of the things that you note in your book. And I want to talk about that because you're an observer of this on a macro level. So give us an idea of some of the trends that you see developing that maybe didn't exist 20 years ago as people celebrate another person's life.
Well, you know, cremation in and of itself is definitely a trend that is only going upward. Right now, about 30% of the population is cremated, according to the Cremation Association of North America, and that is projected to go to about 70% by the year 2025.
Wow.
And a big driver of that is cost. It does cost less to cremate someone, but you still want to have a ceremony or some kind of memorial service to mark that passage, because social psychologists also say if people don't have a service, and a few people are doing that, North America is the only place where the family says the funeral is just for the family, and they don't include the community. And not having a service or not including your community in marking the passage will have repercussions down the road. People have a harder time with grieving and processing that loss if they don't take the time to have some kind of ceremony.
Interesting.
And I'm seeing ceremonies in very creative places. I'm in the midst of my 30 funerals in 30 days project that I'm logging on the Family Plot blog. Five more days to go. I can't wait to be done.
I bet not. 30 funerals in 30 days. That is an interesting little title. What are you seeing in these the funerals that you're attending right now, besides the cremation, which I found interesting because it's going to more than double by the year 2025, the number of cremations that are out there. What about things like the size of the caskets and things of that nature as well?
Well, you know, obesity is a big issue in this country, and I have not seen in this go round of 30 funerals in 30 days any oversized caskets, but that is an issue that people need to think about. If someone is, and we're talking like over 350 pounds, you would have to get oversized caskets that cost more. You might have to get double plots for that one oversized casket. It's like, you know, getting airline seats. In addition, if you've got an oversized casket, will it fit through a doorway, or will you have to have an outdoor graveside service? Will it you know, what vehicles will it fit into? You might have to get a pickup truck or a flatbed truck to transport an oversized casket. So that's another trend that has economic repercussions as well as event planning repercussions.
My guest is Gail Rubin, author of the book, A Good Goodbye. Now, Gail, something that I found amusing as I read your book is there's a new trend in funerals for the family that is hosting the ceremony to actually give away favors, much as you would do at a birthday party or any other celebration. Talk to me about funeral favors, please.
Well, in fact, at this last go-round, I've gotten a glow stick because the event was held in the late afternoon, so people could light their way back to their cars after it got dark. There was one funeral for a young man who enjoyed blowing bubbles. So we all got a little vial of liquid soap and went outside and blew bubbles at the end of his memorial service. A lot of wristbands, those like rubber wristbands that the Livestrong,
yes,
the Lance Armstrong,
sure,
Foundation made,
yeah,
popular.
Mm-hmm.
People are giving those away, but they've got more sayings like, you know, remember or joy or whatever catchphrase might be good for the person who died in terms of keeping their memory alive.
I'm having a hard time, Gail, getting my arms around this. How does one give away a funeral favor? I mean, are they waiting for you on the seats when you walk into the ceremony? Does somebody walk up and down the aisle and pass out funeral favors? How does that work logistically?
Usually it's during the exit after the ceremony. They'll have baskets of whatever they're giving away, and they'll give them to the people as they leave. In fact, one I went to was a woman who had written a children's book, and she had boxes of these books in her garage. So her family gave the book to all the attendees at her funeral, which is a good way to clean out the garage of her book.
Yeah, it's a win-win. My guest is Gail Rubin. And Gail, you talked about this earlier, about the changing nature of our society, and the passwords is one of the five most important things that you need to have from family and loved ones. But there are other trends in funerals which I found interesting as well. This whole concept of a cyber funeral. What exactly do you mean by that, and how's that trend evolving?
Webcasting of funerals. That's something that some funeral homes are putting in the lights and the camera and the internet connection so that those people who cannot be physically present at a funeral can still witness it from afar through the internet. And it's got its pros and cons. It does enable people to at least witness it live, or it can be archived. But, of course, a big part of doing funerals is to get people together to support the family. So you miss that personal presence.
But true, but it does make it available for people who might be out of town, out of the country, and that kind of thing.
Unavailable.
You know,
when it happens, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. My guest is Gail Rubin. Gail, you know, the expression at funerals is ashes to ashes, dust to dust, that we all essentially return to the earth. And it's a very sounds very green, environmentally friendly. Is there a trend right now, as there is in all other aspects of life, towards green funerals and green ceremonies?
Yeah, I think with the baby boomers being more environmentally conscious, we are seeing more trends in that regard. And it's interesting because green burial is really a return to what we did before the rise of the modern funeral director. The use of embalming fluids, which came about during the Civil War and really accelerated during the 20th century. There was a study done by a science writer at Cornell University on her own accord that found that every year about 827,000 gallons of formaldehyde in embalmed bodies goes into the ground, and enough concrete to build a two-lane highway from New York to Detroit goes into the ground every year. And enough metal, steel, copper, bronze, in caskets and in vaults goes into the ground, enough to build the Golden Gate Bridge every single year.
Wow.
And so actually Jewish burial and Muslim burial is naturally green burial. There's no embalming. The casket is usually a plain pine box. and the body is dressed in cotton or linen shroud. And it's interesting. You might think cremation would be greener.
I would.
An alternative.
Absolutely.
But it does have a carbon footprint. One flame-based cremation generates 532 pounds of CO2, greenhouse gas, for every cremation, an average cremation. And I have solar panels on my house, so I have this monitoring system that tells me how much CO2 I'm offsetting by generating electricity from the sun. And I would have to run my solar panel system for 14 days to offset the CO2 generated by one natural gas flame-based cremation.
Wow. My guest is Gail Rubin. She's author of the book, The Good Goodbye. Gail, what do you want people to take away from reading your book, A Good Goodbye?
To make some plans. Have a conversation with your family. It will help with an event that is going to happen in all of our lives. And it won't hurt you to do it. And in fact, it will enable you to have a good goodbye. And your family will thank you for it.
Well, Gail, it's been a lot of good information on a subject that can be very, very sensitive for a lot of people. So I thank you very much for sharing your wisdom with us. If people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Please come to my website, agoodgoodbye.com. And you can also visit the Family Plot blog at that site or through thefamilyplot.wordpress.com.
That is great. Gail, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.